it takes certain things. You say, Jesse, if I ask you, I don't mean to embarrass you or anything like that. If I ask you, have you ever in your life won anybody to Jesus? What would your answer be? That I have sat down and I take the book and I've showed somebody how to be saved and they trusted Jesus as a result of that. Now they tell me that 5% of people who profess faith in Jesus Christ is all that ever try to get somebody else saved. 5%. 95% of people who go to church and claim to be Christians and never wonder about Jesus. See, the main thing, even when Jesus left here going back to heaven, see, the last message he left with us is, be sure and go tell this story. And Paul's going to tell, when you get to the 10th chapter of Romans, Paul's going to say this, since Jesus died for the world, who ought to know about it? You can answer that, can't you? Who ought to know about it? That's right. Now, the way the world's going to know, Paul asks this question, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except somebody be sent? And so it may take me a couple of Sunday nights, but I want to talk to you about soul winning. Because you're going to have to get a backbone somewhere if you're going to get the best there is in the Christian life now. Now, you can sit there and listen to me preach and listen to us sing so forth. You can just sit there and keep on soaking it up, but you're not getting the best of the Christian life. See, it's like you're still nursing the bottle, and you think, hey, they got eggs and ham and biscuits. I mean, there's some good eating stuff beyond nursing the bottle. And the thing that's true in the Christian life. Now, for everybody I'm talking to right here, between now and September, won one person to Jesus. One person, Jesus. Do you know what it would be like around here? Oh, you say, Jesus, Jesse, I'm not supposed to. I don't think you can prove that. See, I don't think you can say, hey, let me show you in the Bible why I'm not supposed to try to win nobody to God. I think you have trouble doing that. And so I want to talk to you just a few minutes about that. How can I be a soul winner? Well, let me start off like this. To be a soul winner, first of all, you have to be saved yourself. Now, there's people who are sitting in church. I don't know about here. I brag on y'all all the time. I probably shouldn't do that. But there's people who are sitting in church. They're not saved. That is one of the reasons why they never help get nobody else saved, because they really don't know what it's like to be saved. Now, they know what it's like to join church and have their head ducked underwater and to sit and sleep through sermons and you know, sing in the choir sometime or whatever. So they know some of that religious stuff. But they don't know what it's like to really be saved because they've never been saved. They went through some kind of motions, but they never really got saved. That is one of the reasons why we don't have people winning nobody Jesus, because they don't know Jesus and they don't really know how to do it, because they can't even explain to you some of the basics of why they did it. And see, there's two things that's killing Christianity, that's really, really hurting it. One of them is we got people who do know some stuff, and they ain't telling nobody. That's a secret. I'm not telling nobody. I know how to get people saved, but I am not telling them. I'm keeping it a secret. That's killing Christianity. There's people who... See, 80% of the people say, I'd go to church if somebody asked me. But see, we think, we're not telling you that we got a secret society here, and we're not going to talk to you about it. And it's killing Christianity. because they won't talk about it. Now, the other thing that's really hurting Christianity, you've got people talking about stuff, and they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know nothing about Christianity, but they're up trying to tell you about it. People, for instance, people trying to tell you ought to pray. And you say, how do you know that? For instance, if I ask you, have you ever prayed all night? I mean, you just took your Bible and said, I'm going to have the experience of praying. The Bible talked about Jesus praying all night, different people praying all night. Have you ever prayed all night? Do you have a reason for not doing it? See, you can read you two verses of Scripture and pray. Read you two more verses and pray. Read you two more verses and pray. Get up and get your cup of coffee, drink it, go back, read you two more verses and pray. Did you? Now, if you ever do that one night, you will never be the same person again. You will never be the same person again. You say, Jesse, it won't change me. I guarantee it, it will change you and your way you're looking at the Christian life. Now, you're going to have to start practicing some of the things that you read in the Bible. And we need to be winning some people to Jesus, and we've got to have some people. See, people will listen to you. They get scared to death when I walk up. It's like Debbie here. She said, if I'd known you as a preacher, I probably wouldn't talk to you. That's what? Didn't you say that to me? See, she said, I won't talk to you. I didn't tell her I was a preacher. You remember Tracy Boggs? First time he come over here at church? Hey, God, if I'd known you was a preacher, I didn't know you was a preacher over there. If I had, I'd have never come over and visited with you, never let you come visit with me. Now, they're not scared of you. They work on job with you. They go to school with you. They associate with you. They're not scared of you. Now, it's killing Christianity because we got people who are saved, but they won't talk. And when they do talk, they don't learn how to talk and tell nobody about it. So I want to go over it with you, and we'll keep on doing it from time to time, because you're like the rest of us. You can't remember everything when you hear it the first time. You say, Jesse, how can I be a soul winner? All right, now let me, if you say, let me mark, are you taping this, Tyler? You ain't taping it. Are you taping this? All right. Now, Tyler's going to tape it. You say, Jesse, I can't remember what you said. He's taping it. Now, to be a soul winner, you've got to believe that Jesus saves people. See, now, if you believe Jesus saves people, and if you believe people are lost, then you need to get them two together. See, now you need not go around acting how religious you are and how wonderful Christian you are. When you don't win people to Jesus, you are not a wonderful Christian. Because that is the essence of the Christian life. That is the thing that everybody's shooting for, is getting people saved. We sang our songs supposedly to get people saved. Preach the Bible to get people saved. We pray trying to get people saved. We go to church trying to get people saved. We're supposed to be trying to get people saved. See? Now, you got to believe that Jesus is the answer for people who are lost. You've got to believe that. And that just going to church. Now, we have hurt ourselves. Baptists are bad for this. We've hurt ourselves because when we go to visit somebody, we usually say something like that. Buddy, I go to church over at Central Heights. You ought to come over and visit with us sometime. Do you think you might come to church sometime?
No.
Do you hear what I'm saying? I ain't saying nothing about Jesus. See, that's the way we talk. We talk, you ought to come to church sometime. No, that's not what gets people saved. See, they think, well, if I go to church, I'm going to be all right, because that's all that preacher asked me to do. That's all my neighbor asked me to do, just go to church. I'm at church, so what? See, they get it in their head. If I go to church, I'll be all right. Because them Christians, that's all they've talked to me about. They don't talk to me nothing about Jesus. See, we're selling a church. We'll say things like, you ought to come hear our preacher, buddy, he can preach. You ought to come hear our choir, man, they can sing. See, that's not, and the devil don't care if you're bragging on the choir and bragging on the preacher and bragging on the air conditioning and bragging on the nurse. He don't care if you're bragging on that. None of that saves anybody. So he don't mind you bragging on that. Just keep your mouth shut with regard to Jesus. Don't get to talking about Jesus, because that's what gets people saved. And the devil don't like that, see. So, you got to believe that Jesus is the answer. Now, if you don't believe it, then you won't talk it. See, if you don't believe Jesus is the answer, you won't talk it and tell people that Jesus is the answer, see. Now, you say, Judge, how could be a soul winner? Let me just quickly run over a few things, and then when you look at chapter, what to do. Number one, you've got to make it up. This is your first step. You've got to make it up in your mind. I'm going to go, and I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. See, you've got to decide that. I'm going to go, and I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. Now, they may run me off, kick me off the porch. I don't know what they might do. But I am going to tell somebody about Jesus. Now, you've got to make it up in your mind. You say, Jesse, I'm scared to death. We're all scared. But you've got to get a little backbone about you, because the gays don't mind to get out on the street and pull off naked and tell you what they believe and think. The drunks don't mind staggering down the street and telling you that they don't mind getting drunk. And you can go on just naming them. They don't care to tell you about what they're doing for the devil. It amazes me that Christians think, I can't tell nobody about what I believe and do. Now, you've got to think about it and think, Brother Jesse said, I need to go. You need to get somebody on your heart and say, I'm going to walk in and I'm going to say to you, do you have Jesus in your heart? I'm going to say it some way. It don't matter really how you... I'm going to present Jesus to somebody that I love and care about. I'm going to do it. You see, and you've got to make up your own mind. I'm going to do it. Now, if you don't make up your mind to do that, then you won't ever do it. You've got to fix it in your mind. I've got a definite thing I'm going to do. I'm going to go do that. Yeah. That's step number one. Number two, you got to be soul conscious. Me and Frank stopped down here at the service station. I was putting in gas or something. I looked up, oh, where's Frank? I was ready to go. And he had some lady cornered over there trying to get a date. He was and finally he came back over. I said, what are you doing, Frank? He said, I'm just telling that girl about Jesus. You say, you can't talk to people about Jesus at a service station. You can't? Now, you got her name and address, didn't you? Got two kids? And she said, I need to start coming. You said, yes, ain't nobody wanting to hear about Jesus. You won't believe how many people want to hear about Jesus. They can't get none of us to talk about him that know him. They can't get us to start talking about it. We're too scared. See? Now, you got to become soul conscious. Soul conscious. See, when you come in church, you need to look around over church. You said, there's an old boy. Right there, an old boy. I haven't seen him here before. And so you walk over and say, hi, bud. My name's Jesse Buell. Your name?
Frank.
Frank Dooley. Have you ever trusted Jesus, Frank?
Yes, I have.
See? People go to church. Nobody ever asks them if they're saved. Nobody ever asks. You think, what are us Christians doing here? And you think, why are you sitting in our crowd if you're not interested in religion? See, people will not come to church who's not interested in religion. When they come in the church door, that shows you. I'm interested in religion. Would somebody talk to me, please? See, they're not coming out consciously saying that. But when they walk in the church door, that's what they're saying. Will somebody please talk to me about Jesus? Now, us Christians, even when they come in our crowd, say, I'm not talking to you. You'll die lost as far as I'm concerned because I'm not going to talk to you. You've got to be soul conscious. You've got people where you work. They got to be somebody there, and you think, I'm going to ask them about their relationship to Jesus. See, you've got to make up your mind sometime. I'm going to start, and I'm going to figure out how I can just say something to somebody about Jesus. So you got to become soul conscious. You got to. They don't have them anymore. But I used to go down to the barber shop to get a haircut, and sitting out front was a little old fella had a shoe box and, you know, shiny shoes. Now here was what interested. You walk up toward the barber shop, and this little old boy sitting there never looked at your head. He always looked at your feet. And he said, would you like a shine? Do you know what the little boy was interested in? He wasn't interested in no haircut. I see, you're going to have to become so conscious that you look at a person and you think, would you be interested in Jesus? See, you're going to have to become conscious of it. Conscious. I'm watching for somebody that might need Jesus, and I'll be glad to leave a track with them or say something to them about how I put their name on my prayer list. So I'm conscious of the fact people need Jesus everywhere. You've got to become soul conscious. Soul conscious. See, it's just like when I go to the doctor. I went down there her little checkup thing, and Janet was looking down at the mouth. That's my doctor's name. I said, what's the matter, Janet? Is things all right between you and the Lord? She didn't get mad at me. Well, I'm over here and they're trying to fix my mouth, which is impossible. I said, Jason, would you mind if I put your name on my prayer list? You've never trusted Jesus, have you? He said, no, I've not, preacher. I said, would you mind if I put your prayer on my prayer list? He said, no, sir, I wouldn't. I said, Jason, you know I'm coming to see you sometime, don't you? He said, I hope so. You say, you can't talk to a doctor like that. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. The little old gals that work in the nurseries, everything. See, the nurses and everything. I just, in a nice way, say, well, me and Frank, we go to the restaurant sometime and see when the little old gal comes up to wait on you. I said, I bet you go to church somewhere, don't you? She says, yeah. What was that and said to us the other day? Yeah, I go to Deep Springs or something like that. I said, I know a lady that goes to Deep Springs. You know her? I told her my name. She said, I don't think I know her. You know what I thought? You don't go to church, you lying thing. See, but it's amazing. See, you think, Jesse, how can I do it? You've got to find you a way to say, I'm going to present Jesus to you. I may not do it like somebody else, but I've got to find me a way and become soul conscious presenting Jesus to people. Now, when you decide to go visit, be neat. Don't go out there dirty looking. Don't go out there without spraying. And don't go out there. And you could even do this in church, because some of the women bring it and give them to me right along. Put something in your mouth if you're going to talk to people. You say, Jess, that don't make sense. No. I remember one man said to me, I was talking to him during the revival, and I said, have you ever trusted? He said, no, I'm not. He said, I came to altar one time. And I said, you didn't trust him that time? He said, no, some fella got down by me, and he had such a breath problem that it just completely distorted my mind from thinking anything about why I'd come to the altar. Now, you don't need to be senseless. You need to be wise as a Christian on how you're going to witness to people. See, and if you're going to witness to people or make connection with people, you need to be neat, nice, and clean. See, you don't need to be hateful, nothing like that. Now, if they get hateful, grin. Say, thank you very much. See, I'm interested in you. They can be hateful if they want to. If that's the kind of life they want to live, they can be that way. I just don't want to be that way. You say, I want to be hateful. Every time somebody's hateful to me, I want to be hateful. Well, you're probably hateful without anybody being hateful to you. See, I don't want to be hateful. I'd rather be kind and nice if I can. I'm not always that way, but that's the way I'd like to be. And if I'd like to be that way, I need to work on it some to see if I can be that way. See? So when you're going to be witness, you need to be soul conscious and you be neat, nice and neat. And then this is probably one of the most important things. You need to get you somebody as a prayer partner to go with you and decide we're going to go and we're going to witness. We're going to go do it. You say, I don't want to be known as no Jehovah. See, charismatic scared people from talking about the Holy Ghost. It's in the Bible. And just because the charismatic started talking about the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues and all that. See, you don't need to throw the Holy Ghost out, the Holy Spirit out. It's in the Bible. You don't get scared because somebody come along and distorted something that it wasn't there like it was. You say, Jehovah Witness, they do so and so and so. Just because they go around and do something that you think, well, that don't look too nice the way they do it and the way they break their pro. That shouldn't stop you from thinking, I can go witness to people. See, what the devil's trying to do is stop you from witnessing, if at all possible. He'll use a Jehovah Witness, or use a snake handler, or use a Pentecostal, or use a Baptist, or use a he'll use any method he can keep you from going witnessing. Now, you need to get you a partner. You say, Jess, ain't nobody here in church likes me. Go somewhere and find you somebody that likes you enough to go out with you once a month or something. Don't you have a friend here that you think, don't it bother you if ain't nobody ever cares to be around you? I mean, don't it bother you? You think, what do I know if I don't be around me? See, you need to think about things like that, and then you need to find you a partner and say, could I call you every morning and ask you to help me pray about so-and-so? And could, you know. Now, when you come in church, I bet you'll look at one another and grin and say, howdy, I'm glad to see you today. See, you need to find you a partner. Now, husband and wife's an ideal team. You say, my wife don't want to be seen with me. Well, I understand that, looking at you. But, I mean, you know, you've got to overcome that some way. You need your partner. Jesus sent people out, and you remember when he's pretty smart on this visiting and getting people saved. You know how he sent them out? Two by two. And the interesting thing about Jesus, when he chose his disciples, most all of them were brothers. because brothers will stick together. They won't walk off and leave one another. Jesus said, I'm going to get brothers, and they'll go with one. So you need your partner. He'll help make you accountable. Because they'll say, you mean we ain't going this week? Are we not going this today? See, and you'll think, man, they want to go. I probably ought to change my mind and go here. Yeah. So you need to get your partner, if at all possible, and go visit. Just decide. I've made up my mind. We're going to go and visit. Now, when you go visit, when you walk up to visit a house, now you ain't dumb, so don't play like you're dumb. If you walk up to the house and you see a bunch of tricycles and swings and all that stuff around in the yard, what's one thing do you know?
Kids
is there. Now, when you go in, what's one of the first questions you ought to ask if you see something like that? Huh? You want to talk about kids. How many kids you got? They'll talk about kids. If you don't believe it, you go up Bernie's and say, you got any grandkids? Yeah, let me tell you about them. Here, you don't see the pictures? I'll tell you about them, buddy. I'll tell you all about them. Now, when you go to make a visit, be smart. Now, if you walk into a house and you see pictures hanging around the wall, what's one question you ought to ask? Do you think they want to talk about pictures? Probably. When you see certain kind of furniture or certain kind of whatever, see, don't be dumb. Walk in there. Get them to talk about. See, as long as you ask questions, you control the conversation. Now, you don't control the conversation by doing all the talking. You control the conversation by, you got any kids? They got to talk about kids because you just brought it in focus. They don't realize you're controlling the conversation, but you are. How long y'all lived here? What do you work at? What's your husband do? What so-and-so? See, as long as you ask them questions, you're controlling the conversation. Now, if you start talking, you may lose it. See? But just ask questions. Y'all go to church anywhere? How long you and so forth? You see, you can get you 6, 8, 10 questions asked, and they willing to talk about that kind of what stuff. Then you may say something like, "I go to church over Central Heights, and we go out every so often, talk to people about Jesus. Is there anything we could pray for you about? We pray for people." You may have something that I could pray for you about. If you have, I'd be glad if you tell me about it. People don't have to get mad about you talking to them that way. You say, Jesse, I can't do that. Why not? You talk about everything else. All kinds of stuff. Talk about it all the time. Get the conversation over where you want to talk about it. Now, when you take, you say, why take two people? All right, now, when you take two people, one do the talking. See, if you go in the house, if me and Mike here go to make a visit, and we go in the house. Now, with less than 2 minutes after we walk in, who's ever in this house will identify with one of us. And when they start talking, they'll look at one and just start talking to that one. That means I'll talk to you, but I don't want to talk to this character. Now they're not conscious of that, but that's the way they are. They think, I'll talk to this fellow here, but I don't want to talk to you. Now they don't know why they don't want to talk to you. They just like to look at Mike. Well, they have to be a little off to do that, but I mean, you know. You think, well, okay. Now, whoever, if you went with two, you need to go with two. Whichever one they identify with, you just drop the ball and let them talk, them two talk. See, don't butt in. Well, let me tell you something. See, See, I do that on Bernie sometimes. She gets so mad she can't stand it. She's trying to tell something, and I think, you ain't told it right, I'll tell it. You know, whatever. See, now, if you go visiting with two, and whoever they identify with, let them do the talking. Don't butt in. Now, if the TV's on and you're not the one doing the talking, get up and walk over and stand in front of it where they can't see it and bow your head, start praying. Most people, if they're nice people, will turn TV off when you come in to visit them. Now, a lot of people leave it on because they don't want you in there. You get over in front of it where they can't see it. If they got a couple of kids, say, hey, kids. Look what I got. You take care of the kids while the other's talking to the people about the Lord. See, if you don't, they'll try to detour themselves off about the kids. But they think, well, he's taking good care of my kids. I don't have to worry about them. See, you have two with you. And the other's always praying for you. Lord, help him say the right words. Just help him, Lord, to say the right word. We're really counting on you, Lord. Now, he knows all the time you're talking that you're over here praying for him. See, all the time he's trying to talk to this person about Jesus, he knows I've got one person right over there that's really praying for me right now that I'll be able to present Jesus in such a way that this person will be interested in. See? It's important that you have a partner that goes with you there and helps you when you get in there. You need that prayer partner. And you say, Jesse, what do I say? How do I take the Bible and say? Now, if at all possible, stay in one book in the Bible. If you can get them, you ask them, do you have a Bible? And if they say, well, yeah, we've got a Bible. Say, would you get it and read a verse or two with me? See. Now, they trust their Bible. They may not trust yours. Usually when I visited with Catholics and people like that, Catholics got a different Bible than you have. Other Christians got a different Bible than what you have and everything. And I say to them, you got a Bible. See, their Bible's same as yours. Except it's a different translation, but it'll still tell you how to get saved. And the Catholics are amazed that the Bible tells you, even their Bible tells you how to get saved. And they're tickled to death when you show them, you mean I could get saved? Because they are depending on a priest to take them to heaven. And they think he might let me down. Now once they find out, Jesus will take you to heaven. They don't ever worry about being let down. And they're tickled to death to get saved. See? Now, I usually take the book of Romans. And you have to start out something like, if they'll let you read the Bible, you have to start out something like this. Do you accept the Bible as being authority? If the Bible says it, do you believe it? See? Well, you see, if they say, I don't believe the Bible, then you can't really help them out of the Bible, because if they don't believe the Bible, you can't really help them. You have to switch back then and say, I just want to tell you what Jesus has done for me. Old Jim Houser was that kind of fellow. You all seen him here at church. Jim, he'd come around where I was, and one day he'd come around, and he said, yes, I just had problems and so far, problems so far. I said, Jim, I've had problems too, but there's one fellow that helped me, and I mean he really helped me, Jim. And he said, I know you're going to talk out religion. I said, I don't care what you think I'm talking. I'm telling you, he helped me. Now, he may not help you. He may not even like you. He may think you're the stinker. He may not want to do nothing for you. I'm telling you, he helped me, Jim. Jim come back next Sunday, next week. When he come back to work next week, he said, guess what happened to me last week? I said, what, you get into some kind of meanness? He said, no, I got saved. See, if they don't believe the Bible, tell them what happened to you. Nobody can dispute experience. See, I've had people say to me, I saw a ghost the other night. I said, ghost? There ain't no ghost. You can't argue with somebody that's had an experience. If they've had the experience, you say, okay, where'd you see it at? What color was it? Was it walking or floating? See, I mean, see, you're trying to find out. You seen a ghost? See, you're not going to convince them they didn't see a ghost. Now, when you tell your experience, this is what Jesus did for me, there's nobody can dispute your experience. You say, I had the experience. I know what it's like. See, and if they listen to that, they will think about your experience, even if they don't believe the Bible. Now, Will's good at this, but you take the book of Romans. That's a sermon. The book of Romans in the first three chapters says this is why everybody needs to be saved. Everybody needs to be saved because of Romans 3:10. Can anybody quote Romans 3:10? As it is written. Anybody remember that? We went through the new members class. Huh? That's right. That's the conclusion Paul come to. There is nobody who is righteous. No, not one. And by the time he gets to verse 23 in that third chapter, he makes this conclusion. Everybody has sinned in the word sin there means in the past, present, and if you live tomorrow, you'll sin. That's what the word sin means. It means past, present, future. That's the kind of verb it is that they use. Everybody has sinned. Now, as a result of everybody sinning, Paul goes on and says, when you get to the sixth chapter, verse 23, the living in sin or the wages has to do with working, living, and so forth. But living in the wages of sin has a payday. Wages means you're going to get your payday. And if you live in sin, your payday is what?
Death.
But you don't have to work for this, but the gift. That's a gift, man. You're going to get a gift. You don't have to work for that. If you live, work, and sin, you're going to be separated from God. That's what death means. You're going to be separated. See, if you fell dead in here right now, we'd grab you and get you out of this crowd. Gotta get you out of here. You can't be among us living people. Death means separation. It don't mean annihilation, like you won't ever exist no more. No, you won't ever die. No matter whether you're a sinner or whether you're a Christian, you're going to live on forever. Now, if you die, if this old body just lays down, see, because the real you is your five senses. We call it a S-O-U-L. We call it a soul. See, that's you. See, you can hear, see, taste, feel. So that's you. This is just a pile of dirt here. You're inside here, looking out through these eyes and seeing you. See? That's where you are. See? Now, if you keep working for sin, wages, you keep going on in sin, you're going to be separated from God forever. But God has a gift he wants to give you, and that gift is not death, but what?
Eternal life.
He give you eternal life. See the opposite? He will give it to you. Now, can anybody quote me Romans 5:12? Because that's the hardest one we ever had to try to learn. Wherefore, as by
one man sin entered the world,
and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have. See, you're Bible scholars. Oh, Tyler, he's got it. All right, look at it. By one man, who was the one man?
Adam.
One man. He let sin into the world. It got into the world. It had come through Adam. It come through Adam, and it got into the world. And right behind sin came what?
Death.
Death. See, death follows sin. Wherever it goes, death follows it. Wherever sin goes, death follows it. And so death passed upon all men. Why?
All have sinned.
Everybody's sin. So death's right there to get you. See? Now, if you got Romans 5:8, they don't know that. If y'all got that? He got it. Daggone your hide. That's good. Look at here. But God commendeth. Well, commend, you know what that means? Hey, got good news for you. Hey, got good news. All of us have sinned. Wages of sin is death. You're in a lot of trouble. Hey, got good news for you. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that wonderful? See, now when you read those verses going through the book of Romans, you show him. Can you see this? You see this? You believe that, Joe? You believe that, Lucy? You believe that, Sarah? You believe that, so? See, you believe that? See, if they believe the Bible, you're just showing them in the Bible. This is what it says. Now go to Romans chapter 10. We'll take a quick look at that and study, because Paul goes into this is how you get saved, and that's what we're talking about on Sunday night, salvation, all right? I could spend a whole sermon on the first verse. Listen to first, chapter 10, Romans chapter 10. You need to turn there and read it. Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer. Prayer here, it don't mean a general prayer. It means I make supplication. I am praying for one particular thing. Now, it's important that you learn. We started this morning to learn a little bit about praying. It's important. See, God, I think God listens to us sometimes. Heavenly Father, I come to you. I've come to you, Lord. And he says, hey, speak up. What do you want? Oh, you say, I just window shopping. You ever work in a store and somebody come in, you say, can I help you? No, I'm just looking. See, now, I think sometimes God says, what do you want? He says, I'm just looking. I may see something I want. I'm just looking. Look at Paul. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Is he praying for somebody to get healed? No. Is he praying for somebody to become a better person? No. He's praying for what? Saved. I want you to get saved. Specific. This is what I want to see happen. Paul says, I've got a desire in my heart. Now, you say, Jesse, I don't have that kind of desire. You need to talk to God about giving you one. You're not eating right. See, if you don't have any desire to see people get saved, there's something wrong with your cravings. Christians should want to see other people get saved. That's what Christians do. They want to see other people get saved. You say, it don't matter to me whether they get saved or not. I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. Well, I hope you are. But a lot of people, you wouldn't know they were Christians or cared about anybody else getting saved. Paul said, my heart's desire, prayer to God, is it? My folks would get saved. See? Next verse. For I bear them record. They have a zeal of God. Now he's talking about Jewish people. He's saying, I'll give them credit for this. They got a zeal for God. They want to find God. Now you can go across Jefferson County and you can go house to house to house to house and you can ask questions like this. Would you like to go to hell? What's their answer going to be?
No.
No. Would you like to go to heaven?
Yes. Yeah.
That's what he's saying. They got a zeal for God. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Now, you may find one or two idiots out there, but there's not that many in Jefferson County yet. Paul said they got a zeal for God, but it's not according to experimental knowledge. They can't really get to know God the way they're seeking and going after God. See, you can't really get to know God by just joining church or being baptized or quitting dipping snuff or something. You got to get to know God. You say, how do you get to know God? Now watch Paul. The next verse. Well, they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Now God does have some righteousness that he wants to give to people. But they're ignorant of the kind they got. They go about to establish their own righteousness. This is what I'm telling you. They just say, if we keep the Sabbath and we pay our tithes and we do so, see, they're establishing their own righteousness. I'm going to get my own righteousness. No, you got to have God's righteousness. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, it just breaks my heart. I know my people want to get to God, but they don't. They're trying to get there the wrong way. So he said, they are ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own, and they won't submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. Next verse. Here's God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Paul said, it ain't as hard as they think. God has a righteousness that he will give to everybody who believes. Now you say, what are they going to have to believe? Next verse. Moses described the righteousness which is the law. Now, Moses gave the Ten Commandments. He gave you the righteousness which comes by law, which means if you keep this righteousness, you'll be protected. But there ain't a person in this county that can keep the Ten Commandments. But if you could go without sinning, keep all of God's law, you'd have protection. It wouldn't save you, but you'd have protection because if you kept it perfect, God has nothing against you. The law is what condemns you. Now, if you keep the law, it protects you. Won't save you, but it protects you. Now, listen, Paul. Moses described the righteousness which comes by the law, that the man which does those things, he lives by them. His life is just carrying it out. Next verse. But the righteousness which is of faith, that's a different one than just getting it by living law. This is a righteousness which comes by faith. Faith has to do with believing. You remember he talked about believing a minute ago? Faith. You've got to believe. It is so simple that man wants to overlook it. The righteousness which comes to faith speaketh. Here's what it says to you now. Who shall go up into heaven? That's to bring Christ down from above. Now here's what he said. You say, well, that'd be impossible for me to do that. I can't go to heaven and get him. Paul said, the righteousness which comes by faith wants you to know there has been a Savior who has already come down, and you don't have to go get him. He has already come down. Now, he's fixing to tell you a story that if you believe this story, then you'll get God's righteousness. Do you believe that there is God come down to us? See? You don't have to say, well, who's going to go to heaven and get Christ and bring him down? You don't have to. He's already come down. Next verse. Or who will go into the deep, that is, bring up Christ again from the dead. You don't have to. Why? He's resurrected from the dead. He's been through the whole thing. Next verse. But what saith it? Now, what saith this righteousness, getting right with God? What saith it? Here's what it says. The word is right next to you, right there. The word. It's nigh. It's close. See, you don't have to go to heaven and get it. Don't have to go down the deep depths of the graves and everywhere to get it. It's right there, right there, right beside you. Even in your mouth, in your heart, that's about as close as you can get to you. He said, you know, you can get saved. It is so wonderful. God is God. He has come down from heaven, went down through the grave. He's conquered all that stuff. And he comes right to you. And all he asks you to do is, do you believe I did this for you? That's all he asks you to do. Well, what saith it? The word's nigh thee, even in the mouth and in your heart. And that's the word of faith which we preach. Now, that really amazes me. I can stand right up here. This word is so powerful. Now, I hope you get this. This word is so powerful that if you will read it to somebody, God will take it and get them saved. You said, Jesse, I can't get them saved. I say, amen. But God says, if you will just tell them my word, I will get them saved through that word. That's how powerful it is. I have stood in front of churches for 60 years, and I've said, if you will come now, if you will come now and trust Jesus, you can get saved. And I watched them come down the aisle and say, I'm come trust him. All I had to do was present the word. And God use the word to get them saved. Now that's what Paul's saying here. The word which I'm preaching, he says that if you just believe what I'm telling you and you preach this, Jesus came down from above, he died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again. If you will preach that, I will get them saved with it. Next verse. If you confess, now if you, see, if you confess with your mouth, read that word, next word backwards. Read the next two words backwards. If you will confess with your mouth, thee, read it backwards. Jesus, who is what?
Lord.
He's Lord. Jesus means he was man. That's his name. He was virgin born. That's his name. Now, if you will confess that this man, whose name is Jesus, that you will confess that not only just to his name, because his name means he died for you and so forth. He was man. He died for you. He's man. He's human like you. He died for you. If you will confess that. Now, you can only confess what's in your heart. See? So that means you're believing it in your heart, and he's going to tell that. See, now if you will confess that, this man Jesus, not only as man, but the next one says he is Lord. If you will confess that he died for you and was buried, rose again, therefore he is God. See, if you will confess that. Confess means if you will agree what the word says he was. Confess means the judge has got you standing here and say, you run a stop sign, didn't you? Guilty, not guilty. You say, I'm guilty, Your Honor. He says, what you're doing is confessing. See, you're agreeing with the judge. I'm guilty. Now, listen to Paul. If you will agree with God that this man Jesus is your Savior, and that he died for you. And not only is he your Savior, he is your God, your Lord. And from here on, he will be my God and he will be my Lord. If you will agree with God on that, then God will give you his righteousness. Do you see what he said? See, Lord Jesus, shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you can be saved. See, you believe it, you agree with God, you confess it. The next one. Because it's with the heart. Man believes and he gets right. See, that's where it is. And that's not joining church, not quitting cussing, nothing. See, this is how you, the Jews said, you keep the law and you'll be right. Paul said, no. God has a righteousness that you do not get by living good. You get this righteousness from God by believing that Jesus died for you and was buried and rose again. And God said, if you'll believe that in your heart and confess it with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. There's no doubt about it. God is the one who decides whether you're going to heaven or not. And he said, this is what it takes to go to heaven. See, confession's made. See, if you don't believe it in your heart, you don't have a real confession. But if you got it in your heart. Now, you said, Jesse, I ain't telling nobody about me being saved. You might not have it in your heart. If you ain't got it in your heart, you're in trouble. See, he said, if you believe it in your heart, and you're willing to confess it with your mouth. See? Now, there's very few that you can call secret disciple. Next verse. For the scripture says, that's it. Well, the Bible says, whosoever believes on him, not be ashamed. Next one. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greeks. That means you're the Greek. Jews are trying to get right, keeping the law. No difference. Jews get right one way. Greeks get right same way. Everybody gets right same way. No difference between Jews and Greeks. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Next. For whosoever shall call upon the name. What's his name? Name of the Lord. What's his name?
Jesus.
See, whosoever calls on the name, believe and see that he is what he said he was. Call on his name. That's what he stands for. That's what they mean by the name. This is he's carrying God with him. His name means I'm God's son. And whosoever calls, believe in that he died for you and buried and rose again. Whoever calls on him, believe in that, thou shalt be saved. So Paul's laying it out. Now he will go on down through there and he'll say, but we, since this is for everybody, see, Jew and Greek, whosoever, since it's for everybody, then we ought to go tell everybody. Hey, you can be saved by trusting Jesus as your Savior. Y'all kind of getting it? Shake your head. All right, anybody got an easy question? Frank, you got any final words for us? Mike, word of prayer for us, and we'll go home.
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for giving us our many abilities, Lord. We just ask for your blessing to us next week, Lord. Just be with us as we depart from this place and bring us back to the next point. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I love the screen. I just think it's wonderful. See, it's right there. It's wonderful.